It's time to say good morning to Peter Allam, our legal eagle, and talking about property transfers, which is probably one of the biggest transfers you'll ever do. Peter, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Morning to our listeners out there. Overcast morning again, a bit of rain out on the coast.
Yeah.
But not too bad. Cool down the weather a little bit. That's the main thing.
Yeah, and maybe kill that humidity just a tad.
Yeah, our chat this one going to be on the compliance certificates required when selling a property. And then more importantly, after that, we'll just say, or not, we'll cover who pays for what when you are buying a house. So if we start with a compliance certificate, it's in, obviously in respect of immovable property, and the seller is required to furnish certain certificates. Normally, or not normally, but in some of our areas in South Africa, there are in fact 5 compliance certificates that are necessary, and the cost of all those certificates is for the seller's account. But let's go through them and then we'll see what they are. The first one is the electrical compliance certificate. That there has been there all along, and it's subject to Section 43 of the Occupational Health and Safety Act, which says that every user or lessor of an electrical installation, as the case may be, shall have a valid certificate of compliance for that installation. So let's just think about what that regulation says. It's quite clear. So it's not only a matter of you having to have it, you know, when you sell your home. At any other stage, you can be asked to produce that as well. Okay? And it states that no person... Regulation 9. Regulation 7 says every user will have one. And regulation says that no person other than a registered person may actually issue that certificate of compliance. So you can't get your old friend who does electrical houses to come along and say, I've checked it and I find everything in order.
Right.
He must be able to put that in paper and he must have his registration number. And he may only issue that certificate of compliance after completing an inspection and a test. So there's a test report that goes with it. When you, you know, when you get your electrical compliance certificate, it's a page that comes along that confirms that it's been done. On the second page, you'll have everything that covers plugs, lights, extension cords, and that type of thing. So another thing that people argue with a lot is they say, oh, when we bought the house 15 years ago, we got one. Not good enough. It's only valid for 2 years. So people must recall that. 2 years only valid. That's very important to remember. So when you're selling a home, you need to get a new certificate if you've got one that's more than 2 years old. And, of course, the Occupational Health and Safety Act also allows for a criminal offense for a person that fails to comply. You know, the penalty is a fine or alternatively the imprisonment should you be found guilty of such a contravention. So that's the electrical compliance certificate, very important, compulsory throughout South Africa. You know, that's important to remember throughout SA. Then the electrical fence certificate, this is something new that came in 2012. And, you know, that's in terms of the electrical machinery regulation, but it's different. Also compulsory. All property owners that have an electric fence need to obtain that compliance certificate when selling the property. And once again, only not an electrician, but an electric fence system installer can issue the property owner with a certificate of compliance. It's a situation where most electricians can fit them, but you have to be registered as an electric fence system installer to be able to issue that. So you can't get your electrician to do both if he's not compliant and registered. And once again, it's only valid for 2 years. And, you know, it's completely separate from the electrical compliance certificate. So they're two different ones. You need one for your electrical installation and a second one for the fence. So it's two different certificates over there. We don't have it here, but in the Cape Town, they've got a water bylaw, which is very good. Not sure why it doesn't become applicable all over South Africa. But there, the seller must, before he transfers the property, submit a certificate of compliance from an accredited plumber, doesn't say a registered plumber, that the water installation conforms to the National Building Regulations. There are no defects. The water meter registers, very important, because a lot of people jippo that, and that there is no discharge of stormwater into the sewage system. Mm. That's a very interesting one.
That's
necessary there in the Cape, yeah.
And that causes a lot. That's one of the things causing a lot of problems in BCM, in Buffalo City, is this sewage system that gets overloaded when it rains, and that's because of stormwater going into the wrong pipes.
Correct. And even down on the coast where all of us are, we don't have, you know, proper sewage systems and things like that. So if you're directing your water into your tanks and that, you're forcing them, especially with the rain that we've had in the last few weeks, months, you know, the honeysuckle is going to work a lot more. You need to check where your discharge is and that it's, you know, your system doesn't allow for that stormwater to go into the sewage system.
Right.
That's a big warning for the Wild Coast listeners. Make sure your stormwater is not channeled into a drain and into the sewer system. Make sure that it flows naturally around the house. So, yes, that's one that's not compulsory, but it's there. They call it a beetle-free certificate. The next one, the compliance certificate is not a requirement by law. It's not compulsory. A lot of people think that you need to get that certificate, but it's not. But invariably, people would ask for a wood borer or, you know, cockroach clearance and that type of thing. So it has become a practice in the sale of property, especially down on the coast where wood borer is commonly found, in other words. So, you know, there was as a result of the previous infection of beetle, which got into the wooden beams and things like that. And it was there to, you know, to protect the buildings from it. And what you find over there is that a lot of the financial institutions will only give you a bond on condition that you have a compliance certificate. In respect of that. So your wood borer and dry rot certificate, or beetle-free certificate as it's called, is not compulsory, but I can assure you that most banks and that will call for it. And as a homeowner, I would suggest that you insist that it's there. You don't want to buy something that's infected with wood borer or rot or something like that, and you've got to replace beams or they collapse or something like that. So, likewise, not a compulsory one, but something that needs to be checked. And then, of course, the fifth and last certificate is the gas certificate. This has become of utmost importance because gas has become very popular, stove, geysers, and things like that. So from 2009, believe it or not, under the Occupational Health and Safety Act, again, came a request, or not a request, but came a law that says that it's compulsory to obtain a gas certificate, and that there must be all done by an authorized person or approved inspection with a certificate of conformity after the completion. So it must show that it's fitted correctly, that any alterations that are necessary, like the electric certificate, you've got to say where the exhaust pipe is and things like that, whether it's inside, outside, whether it's in a cage or not. And it's, you know, it will be issued, the certificate of conformity is handed to people who are qualified in that field. And then they're given the certificate book where they can issue it. So it only goes to a registered gas practitioner for the installation, repair, modification or maintenance of gas. It's very important that you've got the right person. Once again, you can't get Joseph that fits gas geysers to come and do it for you. It must be correct.
Yeah, and he's got to be accredited and registered.
Yeah, those five certificates are basically there. If you sum it up, it's electrical, it's electrical fence, it's a wood borer and dry rot, it's a gas, and as I say, down in the Cape, it's a water one. Those five certificates, the conveyancing attorney must ensure before the transfer of the property that if they are listed in the sale document, that they are obtained. The practitioner cannot proceed with the sale without having those certificates in his possession before transfer takes place. Right. The purchaser should be able to see those certificates and ensure that it's done by a proper service provider and that they are valid according to the regulations. At Elms, we make sure that we do that where it's allowed for. And in fact, where people don't have those certificates, we just ask them to make sure that they're happy. For example, that there's no wood borer certificate, not to cause any problems or anything, but it's better to let the people know what's what. Because, you know, you've also got a snag list. People would never put onto a snag list wood borer in their home because they wouldn't know what it is.
They wouldn't know if they've got it or not.
Yeah. So you could face a huge damages claim afterwards, you know, when you don't even know that there's wood borer. Mm. So that it's better to be safe than to be sorry with certificates like that. So all those certificates are necessary and need to be produced. The gas appliance in your home, you know, people say, oh, I've only got a gas stove and it's a little gas bottle next to my stove. Yes, you can probably get away with that, but you need to make sure that, you know, that that is what it is. You still need to make sure where there's gas that somebody's come to inspect it and found that it's not necessary. So, you know, the Occupational Health and Safety Act apply to that. To the three certificates necessary there, the three necessary ones being electrical, electric fence, and gas. The other two, not at this stage, but something that you should look into. So if we just summarize it all, let's say that, yes, I'm buying a house. What am I paying for? What should I look out for? Let's start with the purchaser. You know, the purchaser is going to pay all transfer fees. You'll get an account from the attorney with the transfer fees applicable. And then in addition thereto, you'll have a share of the rates, a levy clearance certificate if you're in a gated area, and that type of thing. So if you've got a bond, if you've applied, you've got a deposit of maybe $100,000 and then a bond for the balance, you're going to pay all the costs for the bond registration and whatever the bank may ask for in that regard. That's completely separate and invariably would be with a different attorney. The banks don't like to give both the bond and the sale to the same attorney. So as the purchaser, that's what you're going to pay for. And what you can expect is the compliance certificates and a proper accounting for your monies afterwards in respect of the sale price and the statement that you received that you had to pay for. The seller will have, if there's an existing bottle in the house, the seller must never forget that he's responsible for that cancellation. You know, so often we get people who say, ah, man, I've been in my house for 30 years. We paid it up 10 years ago.
But the bond still exists.
That bond still needs to be cancelled, yeah. Then you get so the bond cancellation fees are for the seller. The compliance certificates that we've just spoken about, you've requested all of them. For the seller's account. And then something that a lot of people don't understand and a lot of attorneys don't bring it to the attention of the seller is that if there's an agent that sold your house, you must understand that there's an agent's commission applicable. You know, you need to ensure that you negotiate with your agent and you know what the fee is and that you're satisfied with that. And I say to buyers out there, don't just, you know, sign, you're so excited you've got a sale. Have a look at what they're charging.
Yeah.
You know, they charge anything from 3% to 7% plus VAT. And it's very definitely a negotiable amount. So have a look beforehand. I always say to my sellers, come and let us have a look at the deed of sale that you've got. Let us make sure everything is correct. Let's make sure that your snag list, most importantly, is correct. Because as a seller, you're also going to pay for items on the snag list if you haven't disclosed and said that you will not be responsible for that. And then so often lately, we get people who say, you know, I didn't even know that there was wood borer in the ceiling. Mm. You know, I don't get up into the ceiling. I mean, what on earth are they expecting of me?
Yeah.
I think 90% of people, I'm quite happy to say that my belief is that 90% of homeowners don't get up into their ceiling and have a look at what is up there.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's probably bad on us. Maybe you should do it. I don't know. But it doesn't happen. So, you know, be careful there as well. Don't get caught with, you know, hidden costs of the snag list, hidden costs of wood borer, hidden cost of gas appliances. Don't forget to disclose as well that you have a gas stove. You know, sometimes people come through our house, they have a look, they're so excited, yes, I'm happy. And then you find that, you know, a lot of houses these days have an electric oven and a gas hob on top. People don't realize that that's gas. That needs to have a certificate, perhaps, depending on the size and how it's set up, you know. And some of these places insist on cages around gas bottles and things like that, depending on the size. So it's something that really needs to be looked at properly. That's basically where we are today with our chat, okay. Right?
And Peter, just a thought that maybe if you're busy getting ready to sell a property, you know, a checklist of some sort that you can go through, maybe in consultation with your attorney before you even get the process rolling. You know, get your wood borer, get your electrical and all the compliance certificates. And then when the potential buyers arrive, you've got everything lined up and it's just a case of, you know, going through the house and getting it going. Does that happen or is that, you know, I suppose life happens?
And that's very, very, very common these days. You know, people are very conscious of sales these days because it's not as simple as you sell footstools. That little word footstool no longer fits into a sale unless you have a specific agreement in that regard. And unless you've stipulated, look, you know, there's a bit of dampness in that room and I'm not prepared to fix it. I've reduced my price by X amount already, taking that into account.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. So you're 100% correct. You get the people that are conscientious and that come along to us and say, what must I do? And I always say to them as well, don't go and splash a bit of paint on it. You know, so many agents unfortunately say, you know, if you just painted your house, it'll look so much better. Beware of that.
Yeah.
Because if there's dampness and you've painted over it and it's lost for 6 months and you haven't disclosed that dampness, they can test and tell when that dampness crept in. I mean, we had a house where it cost the people an extra $200,000 the other day because the seller didn't disclose that there was dampness, denied it. Only to find that the person that they got out to do it said, but I've been at this house 3 times to try and fix this dampness and the guy didn't want to spend the money.
And
in the end, it cost him twice as much. You know, so you got to really, really be careful and not be silly in that regard.
In fact,
honesty is the best policy, as they always say. You know, rather disclose it so that there's no hassles with it later. That's the main thing there.
Or if there are dampness problems, then leave it unpainted and then, you know, you're not, then they can see that you're not actually hiding anything.
That you're not hiding anything. That's the main thing.
Then they know exactly. They can make an informed decision from there saying, okay, we need to get a person to quote us on this and then negotiate from that point.
Correct. Need to make sure that takes place. Yeah,
sure. It's a mammoth process, but if you get all the right people involved, it can probably be pretty streamlined as far as, you know, the process of buying and selling is concerned.
That's it.
Great. Well, Peter, if somebody is in that process, how do they get hold of Alam's attorneys if they want to make use of your services?
They can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea. Little side street where Pep Stores is, opposite the Vincent Shopping Centre. Telephone 043-7211-018. Or better and easier, to like us on Facebook, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, add a S to our surname, Alams, and you'll find us there. And, of course, you'll also find us on Wild Coast FM. Our chats are there every week posted, as they are in our Facebook page as well. So that's where they can get us.
Great. Peter, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Have a great week and look forward to chatting again next week, Monday.
Perfect.
Cheers.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Peter. That's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle chat, all about property transfer and the documents required.